Cedric Muhammad.
Maybe some of your comments on Brick City. Cam from Paterson, New Jersey, right around the corner. He says, I've looked at some of the previews for this series and I decided it wasn't objective enough. At times, the residents look stereotypical and helpless, while the administration looks fair and righteous. I know Newark, and while people are happy Cory Booker is in office, I know that this documentary is accurate. I don't know that this documentary is accurate. Let me run this again. Cam says, I know Newark, and while people are happy Cory Booker is in office, I don't know that this documentary is accurate. Amiri Baraka may be accurate. As for urban renewal, that's happening downtown, not in the communities. I liken their focus on certain characters to someone telling the Cedric Muhammad story while focusing on Brother Charles. Oh, that's funny. But you couldn't tell the Cedric Muhammad story without Brother Charles and vice versa. Or vice versa. Anybody say vice versa? I used to say vice versa. Come clean. If you were a vice versa saying individual, come clean. I used to say vice versa. Glenn from Philly. He says, peace said, I've been checking out Brick City. I actually cheated a little bit and watched the whole thing on demand. Apparently, they uploaded the whole series over the weekend. I thought I noticed Bishop in a few of the scenes as well. I haven't seen enough of Bishop, man. This is, you know, I didn't want to say anything to personalize this. But, you know, BlackElectricDuck.com and myself, we do have an alliance with Saving Ourselves and Marcellus Bishop Allen. They're all members of the BlackElectric.com business and building community. So I'm still waiting to see if Bishop's work in Newark. Let me throw a picture of Bishop up. It's Bishop right there on your screen. President of Saving Ourselves, who have been instrumental in working with members of street organizations, Blood, Crip, Latin, King. That's Bishop right there in the suit. Bishop has a lot of new pics on his Facebook page. I'm not going to blow him up, though. But this is a very, very essential individual in Newark. And I'm hoping that Mark Levin and Mr. Benjamin and Forrest Whitaker are going to, in parts 3, 4, or 5, talk about the work of Saving Ourselves. I thought I saw Bishop too, but it wasn't long enough for me to really tell. This documentary will not be official. I will not co-sign it unless the work of Saving Ourselves, Marcellus Bishop Allen, is featured. I will give you credit. You got, I'm so happy Jawi is in there. The great Brother David Muhammad is in there. You're focusing on Cory. That's natural. I'm glad Raz Baraka was featured. Now let's, I mean, come on now. Let's just drill down and just get to the work of Saving Ourselves. Maybe they'll talk about the gang truce. I have no idea what parts 3, 4, and 5 reveal. I've only seen part 1 and 2. But those of you that know BlackElectric.com and myself, you know that we certify and salute the work of Saving Ourselves. Bishop's been on the show. We'll talk a little bit more for those that are not familiar later. Let me throw Jawi's book up again. Jawi's been on this show as well. War of the Bloods. Deshaun Jawi Morris. Let me do some promo for this book. Is it coming up? War of the Bloods in My Veins. A Street Soldier's March Toward Redemption. Jawi. Deshaun Jawi Morris. Go get that book. These are real people. I've interacted with them. I can vouch for what they're doing, and I'm glad that they're featured. Any other comments on Brick City? I'm going to get to this letter, open statement that Minister Farrakhan wrote about Muammar Gaddafi. It's on finalcall.com. Cam from Paterson, New Jersey, comes back. He says, the urban renewal agenda is a stretch. Obviously, this is voyeurism at its best. The question is, who is being produced for? what are they really going to accomplish? We know all of these things. The interesting thing about documentaries is the people who benefit the most are those shown on camera the least. Could this be a way to jumpstart the ongoing corporate development along Mulberry Broad and Market? Yes. Now, this is an interesting point. That's why I gave you the picture of Ed Burns. Now, I have nothing against this man. I've only spoken to him a couple of times. I met him at a event where some real people were there. The fact that he came impressed me. But Ed Burns benefited tremendously from being involved with the Wire. All my Baltimore Be More Careful representatives, has Baltimore benefited from The Wire? This is what I'm saying. I don't know if I'm really ready to hear the NWA, this is the CNN of rap defense. Oh, hell, man. I'm going to have to talk a little bit more about Brick City in the next hour. I'll get to this enlightening statement that Minister Farrakhan put out about the Nation of Islam welcoming Muammar Gaddafi. I'm going to get back to this topic of subordination. Some of you all, you're hating on me. I hate on you too. I mean, the self-hatred abounds. I have people that don't want to be fans of my show page because they can't imagine themselves being a fan of somebody they know. I'm a fan of all of you all. I'm going to let Usher speak to you as we go into hour number three. This goes out to you, you, and you. I love all of you. I have no problem bowing down, saluting you. You are my superior in some area. I just don't know yet. Okay, this can't obviously be dedicated to men, but the principle abounds. This is for you. You. What I'm saying is I would bow to each and every one of you if I had a chance to meet you, because I know you are my superior in some area. So I'm not really... The high notes in this song are not for the men, but I'm bowing to you, brothers. Anyone who listens to my show. Why can't you just support somebody because they're great?
Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Now, you know, the word groupie may be troubling, but you got to know how to support somebody, man. Put the pom-poms on for the people in your life who are putting work in. Celebrate the real celebrities. They're right around you. Control. Somebody can get me the lyrics to this. This is Superstar by Usher. I want to read these lyrics on air.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
That's what I do all day. I be cheerleading people. I be rooting for you, praying for you, give you good advice, listen to you. I got sick recently. I only have 4 fans. When you get sick, you find out how many fans you really have. All right. I'm bowing to all of you right now. I'm
sobering, stimulating, and hot. It's the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
These are not just academic exercises. We're not analyzing the media on Mars or in the 18th century or something like that. We're dealing with real human beings who are suffering and dying and being tortured and starving because of policies that we are involved in. We, as citizens of democratic societies, are directly involved in and are responsible for. And what the media are doing is ensuring that we do not act on our responsibilities and that the interests of power are served, not the needs of the suffering people, and not even the needs of the American people, who would be horrified if they realized the blood that's dripping from their hands because of the way they're allowing themselves to be deluded and manipulated by the system.
Places you needed to go. What if you get there and learn them as you go? What if is the question? Can I ask them once more? What if?
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Oh man, we may have stumbled upon a topic on September 23rd, 2009, on the hottest show in the diaspora. Man, I mean, I love to see, as a matter of fact, I like going looking for greatness. I try to find the littlest, greatest thing I can find about a person and then start there. I'm not going to say I haven't been envious or jealous in life, but man, I just love to see people shine. And I think that is one of the reasons why we have done BlackElector.com the way we've done it. We have just went looking for people to try to amplify their voice if they had something to offer. It is not reciprocated, but that's not why we did it. Did I tell you I have a book coming out? We'll put that cover up in a minute. The 3-volume series is in the building. The Entrepreneurial Secret to Starting a Business Without a Bank Loan, Collateral, or Revenue, Volumes 1 to 3. Oh, man, crispy. But you know what I don't like about my book? In the proof copies that I got, the ink doesn't, like, get you high. You know what I mean? You can smell the ink. It's so strong. This book is, like, easy on the nose. I want that new Christmas smell, Christmas gift smell, or new car scent. They could have sprayed it with new car scent. Maybe for an extra dollar, I'll do that for you all. Let me get to this wonderful statement. I would say informative, because Muammar Gaddafi in Libya is a very interesting subject matter, man. It exposes and it reveals a lot of things about the fault lines of the black progressive movement and socialist forces in general. Let me put a picture of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the UN General Assembly. They got the minister on the side here. It's Minister Farrakhan walking in the UN General Assembly. I guess the coat check area, there's a lot of coats. Let me read what the minister said. Nation of Islam welcomes Muammar Gaddafi. This is updated September 22nd online, 2009. The minister says, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, it is a great honor and privilege for me, the Nation of Islam, and others to welcome brother leader Muammar al-Gaddafi, leader of the Libyan Arab Jamahiriya and president of the African Union, to his first visit to the United States of America to address the 64th opening session of the United Nations. You may ask why we feel honored and privileged to welcome him. It is because ever since we have known him, he has been a friend of the struggle of black people all over the world for true liberation. In Brother Gaddafi's Green Book, he mentions the rise of black people to positions of prominence and eminence and power in world leadership. He has not only written and said this, he has put the scholarship and oil wealth of Libya behind, not only raising the standard of living of the 6 million Libyan people, but also has used the scholarship and wealth of Libya to raise the condition of the poor masses throughout the earth. By his charity and the guidance he has given to so many, he has proved that what comes from his pen and his lips is deeply rooted in his heart. This is Minister Farrakhan speaking on Brother Muammar Gaddafi. In 1971, he loaned the Nation of Islam, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, $3 million. That money allowed us to purchase the beautiful Greek Orthodox Church, which became the national headquarters of the Nation of Islam in Chicago. In my effort to rebuild the Nation of Islam in accord with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Brother Gaddafi loaned the Nation of Islam $5 million for our economic development and then forgave the loan. Then, through the Islamic Call Society, the religious arm of Libya, sponsored one of the largest Islamic conferences in America, bringing Islamic scholars from all over the world to Chicago. The Islamic Call Society also sponsored two of our World Friendship Tours, which allowed us to visit over 53 countries. Brother Gaddafi was and is a true revolutionary who is still evolving towards the destiny that Allah God has for him. The greatest of his efforts, in my humble opinion, has been to foster the idea of Marcus Garvey, George Padmore, Kwame Nkrumah, and Gamal Abdel Nasser to move the independent states of Africa to form the United States of Africa, thus bringing Africa fully and powerfully into the 21st century as a major contributor on the world scene in all aspects of world affairs. Again, if you just tuned in, I'm reading Minister Farrakhan's welcome on behalf of the Nation of Islam of Brother Muammar Gaddafi. It is an explanation, a detailed, informative statement regarding why he respects Muammar Gaddafi and the history of the relationship between him and the Nation of Islam. The minister continues. He says, as you may know, in 1986, the most expensive assassination attempt in the history of the world was perpetrated against Muammar Gaddafi by the government of the United States of America under the leadership of President Ronald Reagan. In that assassination attempt, he narrowly escaped, but his adopted daughter was killed, and 41 Libyans and other foreign nationals died in the bombing raids that took place in Tripoli and Benghazi. There is no nation that does not desire to have a friendly and meaningful relationship with the United States of America. A promise was made that if brother leader Gaddafi abandoned the idea of making Libya a nuclear power and agreed to pay reparations for the unfortunate loss of life of the 270 persons in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing that took place over Lockerbie, Scotland, the sanctions placed on Libya by the United States and the United Nations would be lifted. These negotiations took place under the administration of President George W. Bush. Many of us that followed these events thought that Libya was made the fall guy for this unfortunate tragedy. America first said that the perpetrators of this act were from Iran, and then they said Syria, and lastly they focused on Libya. Two Libyan nationals were turned over to the World Court and were tried at the World Court in The Hague under Scottish law. One of the Libyan nationals was set free, Lamin Khalifa Fhima, and over the protest of many, Abdel Basset Ali al-Megrahi was found guilty and spent the past 8 years of his life in prison for a crime that most Libyans never believed he was guilty of. From what I have learned, there have never been any negotiations for business or oil deals between Libya and England or Scotland that did not involve the potential release of Abdel Basset al-Megrahi. A few years ago, Bulgarian nurses were accused of injecting Libyan children with the HIV/AIDS virus. Over 400 Libyan children were infected. These nurses were tried in a Libyan court, found guilty, and sentenced to death. The cry came up from the West, America, England, and the European Union, petitioning Muammar Gaddafi not to put these nurses to death. Then a request was made and pressure was applied to release them to serve time in a prison in their own country. Let me read that again. Then a request was made and pressure was applied to release them to serve time in a prison in their own country. Libya released these nurses, and I understand that while the plane was carrying them from Libya to Bulgaria, a new arrangement was made by Bulgarian authorities, and these nurses were received with a hero's welcome in Bulgaria and were set free, not spending one single day in jail. Abdel Basset Ali Al-Megrahi's life imprisonment was commuted for medical reasons by the Scottish government, and he was released and sent home to Libya to die. A great hue and cry came up from America and other places condemning the release of this brother. The Obama administration joined in condemning the Scottish government's action, apparently forgetting America's request under the Bush administration to release the Bulgarian nurses to their own country and release them from the penalty of death. Now I'm reading Minister Farrakhan's statement on behalf of the Nation of Islam welcoming Muammar Gaddafi. All you need to do is just take what the minister is saying and compare it to the news stories. He's going through the history that gives you some of the context over the controversy over the release of the Libyan prisoner in Scotland. Minister Farrakhan continues, "Brother leader Muammar Gaddafi has shown that Libya is ready to take its place in the family of nations as an equal and respected partner. The sanctions, to the best of my knowledge, have been lifted and a new era in the American-Libyan relationship is now emerging. There is much that America and Europe can offer to Libya and Africa, and there is much that Libya and Africa can offer to America and Europe in an atmosphere of mutual respect. The emergence of Libya on the world stage is now a reality in that Libya is now serving on the United Nations Security Council, and a Libyan diplomat is presiding over this year's General Assembly. Brother Gaddafi's insistence on Africa's becoming one great nation with Africans in the diaspora assisting in the development of Africa is probably the greatest move that brother leader Gaddafi has made in his 40 years of leadership of Libya. Libya is building anew. Libya is investing tremendous resources in the development of Africa, and Libya is also seeking to invest in America. While Brother Gaddafi's visit to America may attract protesters, which is the right of any American to do, however, I hope it will also attract those of us who have honored and respected Brother Gaddafi over the years for his tireless efforts in black liberation and the struggle of the masses. On a personal note, years ago I told some revolutionary brothers in Africa that I too am a revolutionary. But the revolution that I am concerned with is not fostered by the use of carnal weapons. The revolution that I was then involved in and am involved in now is fostered by the divine light found in the Bible and the Holy Quran. There is no real revolution as long as we remain mentally enslaved by our former colonial and slave masters. We must be made new, and that can only happen if the veil of ignorance is removed and replaced with that knowledge that will bring up a new idea and vision. This kind of revolution will change Africa and the world. When Brother Gaddafi saw the work of the Nation of Islam in cooperation with other black leaders and organizations that produced the historic Million Man March, he offered to help our people with an infusion of capital to pursue those things that would be meaningful in the building of our communities. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 4, it is written that we will rebuild the wasted cities. We the blacks, the Hispanics, the Native Americans, and the poor whites live in the wasted parts of the American cities. Among us, however, is the talent, energy, gifts, skills, and will to rebuild the cities to make our neighborhoods decent places for all of us to live. We hope that in the gathering of our best and brightest minds, producing a workable and mutually agreeable plan, that Libya will partner with us in rebuilding the wasted cities. This would create job opportunities for our young people and help us with international trade and commerce. This would allow us to build in the West and share the richness of the wisdom we have gained from our sojourn in America with our brothers and sisters on the African continent. Then, from both sides of the Atlantic, we might find ourselves, through our noble work, worthy to be respected among all the civilized societies on our planet." Thank you for reading these words, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, you may not have suspected it, but the last two paragraphs, and really all of the above, relate to Brick City. I'm going to read this again. We just talked about Brick City, and we just read Minister Farrakhan's statement on Muammar Gaddafi welcoming him. I'm going to read this last part again in case you missed it. There is a connection with the documentary Brick City. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 4, it is written that we will rebuild the wasted cities. We the blacks, the Hispanics, the Native Americans, and the poor whites live in the wasted parts of the American cities. Among us, however, is the talent, energy, gifts, skills, and will to rebuild the cities and make our neighborhoods decent places for all of us to live. We hope that in the gathering of our best and brightest minds producing a workable and mutually agreeable plan that Libya will partner with us in rebuilding the wasted cities. This would create job opportunities for our young people and help us with international trade and commerce. This would allow us to build in the West and share the richness of the wisdom we have gained from our sojourn in America with our brothers and sisters on the African continent. Then, from both sides of the Atlantic, we might find ourselves through our noble work, worthy to be respected among all the civilized societies on our planet. Thank you for reading these words. I'm going to just say it like this. I think I can say it subtly. A hint to the wise is sufficient, right? At a certain point in the Brick City documentary, let me hit you with the Brick City documentary Sundance promo. I believe in promoting other people. Not as much as I used to, though. It's been a slight adjustment, but the few, you know, there are certain people that are absolutely worthy of constant promotion. But this documentary, since it does style itself as being relevant to urban renewal and raising that issue again, what Minister Farrakhan ends on is urban renewal. There was a scene, two scenes in Brick City. If I'm correct, the mayor of Newark, Mr. Cory Booker, was having a conversation with developers and investors, potential investors in the city of Newark, a wasted city. At a certain point, one of the Asian investors said, Newark cheaper than New York. I saw an Asian and I saw a Jewish team of investors looking at Newark, port city. There's no problem with that. Is there a place for African investment in Newark? I wonder. Would that be a test for Mayor Cory Booker? I wonder. Or is this kind of urban renewal off limits to only certain kind of investors? I think I've said enough. Over a hot down south beat. We'll be right back. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. September 23rd, 2009. Let's get to Russia. We want to get into this U.S.-Russia relation. GPS, one of our favorite shows. Fareed Zakaria, I never say his name right. Medvedev and Putin. Got a little tag team situation going on there. Here's the intro, how Fareed set it up on Sunday's show. I'm going to get into the mind of one of the leaders of Russia. U.S.-Russia relations, it will become an issue more and more. It's already, you're already starting to see it flare. Cold War is not over. I'm sorry to disappoint. Cold War is not over.
This week we have something very special and important. An exclusive interview with the President of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev. It is, I believe, the longest and most comprehensive interview he has given since assuming office over a year ago. Let me tell you why I think the interview is important. When we try to understand what the world is going to look like in the future, will it be peaceful? Will there be more international cooperation? The focus inevitably turns to Russia. There are many new great powers emerging in the international system, China and India most obviously. But of all the powers in the world, Russia occupies a unique position. No one is quite sure what Russia wants. Does it want to be part of the new global structure of power? Or does it see this new structure as too Western dominated and it wishes to set itself apart? It wishes to be an opponent, a spoiler. One thing is for sure. It wants power and influence. It has not reconciled itself to its diminished place on the map since 1990. Dean Acheson once said of Britain after World War II, it has lost its empire and has not found its role. This is doubly true of Russia today. Some people look at Russia and have concluded that the picture is all bad. And certainly in the last few years, Russia has moved backward on a number of measures of democracy and human rights. But overall, it still remains a much more open and free society than it was during the communist era.
Cedric Muhammad.